spoilers. What number is this getting cut? What is it? Oh, no, wrong person. God damn it, shit. Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? I'm still feeling the blues after episode 200, people. Episode 200, god damn it. But this is Throwback Tuesday, episode 132. I'm your spoilers with the most, the phenomenal one.
And this is Z.
Whenever I'm recording on the road or in the car or something like that, I'm always like louder than usual. So
yeah, at least tell them you're not driving. So
well, I've recorded a few spoiling at the movies on the road, going like, "Yeah, you goddamn right, or whatever." I'm like, wait a minute, what was that? Somebody just flicked me off. Fuck you too, but hey, right here, nigga, right here, fuck you. Hold on, let's pull them aside, these niggas. Hey, fuck you, dude. Oh, you know me. But yeah, so I'm going to be a little louder as it is than usual. But
Than what? Than usual?
Z's like, wow, you can get louder? Like, yes, I can, Z. You haven't seen me at my full potential. You haven't seen me at my full best of the best.
God in the world.
If only if I was wearing my championships now or whatever, I'd be glowing in gold right now, you know?
I'm surprised you don't take that around with you everywhere you go.
I don't want to touch the motherfucker. That motherfucker's been sitting in a glass. My brother came over to my place. He was like, oh, let me hold that. I said, nigga, no, don't touch it. No, don't tell what's wrong with you. Don't, I said, close that glass case. Leave it alone. Close it. I got the U.S. one. I got it off.
Oh, you did get that one, too.
But I didn't buy it off of the shop. So I got it off eBay for $80.
Oh, killer deal.
But the thing about that one, it's a kid's replica one. But whatever, I'm not wearing the damn thing. I mean, plus it weighs like the kid one weighs like 3 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still an average size. Plus, I'm not that big anyway, so I look like fucking kids sometimes anyway. So just fuck it. But I'm not wearing the damn things anyway. I'm just putting them on display in my glass case I have, whatever, because it's empty and I just like to fill it up with belts and shit.
Yeah, we all know you're wearing them.
Well, only the sleep Z.
You wear them around your place.
I'm doing laundry. I walk down the balcony or whatever. I'm just walking like, oh, not top of the morning to you, miss. Yes. It's something I won. That's right. Yes. Oh, don't mind this one either. Oh, yes. I take off my my overcoat jacket. If I take it off, go like, oh, where'd this one come from? I don't know. I don't know. Yes.
Oh, that would be a sight.
So far.
That'd be a sight.
I'm thinking of getting a third one now.
Oh my god!
Well, shit. Here's the thing about when you make money and you don't have time to do anything with it because you're constantly just working or whatever and shit.
Yeah.
You just tend to buy a bunch of shit online because when you do have money and you do have time, you go out to places. But since you don't have time to go to places, you spend it on shit you don't need.
Are you a hoarder?
No, but I do like collecting shit.
Okay, that's different. That's different. Okay.
I go through phases, I guess, if you will, of like what to collect. Like, because like last year, no, wait, was it the year before? I think either the year before or last year, I think I was collecting Marvel shit. It was pretty much like the Captain America shield.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Helmet and shit like that. This year, I think it's championship replicas.
Are you getting a UFC one?
Yes, I saw that one too as well. I saw a boxing one for like $175. I think I'm gonna get that one too.
That's not bad.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty decent price.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to know to look for this. So, like, every year I go through phases of what to collect of shit I could never afford back then. But now that I have paper, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Well, from what the spoiling bastard Kay thinks, I collect women, so.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that, man. I would love to be in your shoes right now. I'd love to collect women. The one woman I'm seeing right now would strangle me by the ball, so.
I got a little Buffalo Bill going on here.
Oh, shit. Everybody got a Buffalo Bill going on. Whoa, shit. Hey, it could be worse. You could be in a kitchen constantly like Wayne, so.
Yeah, a little Julia Childs there.
Yeah, or you could be a hipster douchebag like Cody. You know, you never know. I mean, you know.
Shalom.
Or you could be a no-show like Sammy. I don't know.
Shalom.
Where the fuck is Sammy at, by the way?
Super Bowl.
I don't mean shit. Who gives a fuck? What's more important than Throwback Tuesday episode 132, Z?
Nothing.
Thank you.
There I mean,
you
shit, if I had Wi-Fi in the hospital, I'll record from the hospital when I'm in my surgery.
Yeah, you know hospital Wi-Fi sucks.
It does. I used it when I was there earlier this last month. It sucks so bad.
It's fucking terrible. Although I will say, though, the hospital that my mom was in about, what, 2 years ago or something like that when she had her surgery, they had some pretty damn good food there. I was shocked by that because I heard stories.
Well, I can't eat it, so...
That sucks to be you, then. I ain't gonna lie. When she was in the hospital, I was playing... They couldn't wait to get her out of there because I was playing around in the wheelchair. I was going down the aisles and shit. I was fucking with nurses and all that. I was constantly in the cafeteria. I was like, hey, let me get the fish today. I hear that's pretty good, dude. Oh, it's free, right? Because I got a patient, right? All right, cool.
You're one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. Hey, what the fuck else am I supposed to do?
True, hospitals are pretty boring.
Yeah, and it's cold as shit.
I don't know. Black people. Go do like Michael Myers does and kill some nurses.
I was trying to fuck one.
So it's like a porno.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, I have to work. I was just like, hey, so do I. I was like, hold on, you think I'm crippled? Let me get out this wheelchair real quick. Hold on, girl. I'm a straight human being. Look at me. I can walk. It's a miracle. I did so. I said, you made me give me the power to walk, girl. Look at this. I can walk again.
Woo.
What you doing tonight, though, girl? what you doing tonight? Hey.
So you didn't succeed in your challenge.
No, I didn't succeed at that at all. I don't succeed in a lot of challenges. That's why I set my standards pretty low.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I go after women with deficiencies and problems or whatever. that way I can say, fuck you then, you handicapped looking bitch shit.
Missing leg.
Yeah, hot damn, fuck you then, you missing leg. Look what I got. Two legs. Shit. Bet you won't say no to me again. Shit. How dare you?
You're just looking for the girl with the gay thick mustache.
The blind girl told me no, I said, well, fuck you then, too. At least I got eye. I got eye vision, bitch. What can you see? Shit.
Have you picked up a mute, deaf girl yet?
You know, because I was going over Cody this after our 200th episode, because he was just staring at me and weird of all the sexual things I've done in my life, and he was just kind of giving me this look like, wow, something's fucking wrong with you, and I was just kind of looking at him, and then the only thing I think I've never went through was probably a deaf girl. To be honest, because when I told him I fucked a midget before, or I'm sorry, a little person.
Little person, there you go.
Which sounds even more degrading to me, but when I did that in college, I was just like, and that wasn't even an experiment. I thought she had some meat on her, and I liked it. I don't know, because I ran into her the other day, that's why, yeah.
The little person?
Yeah, exactly, I ran into her the other day.
Literally?
Yeah, like, literally. Well, I didn't run, but I walked out. She's like, aren't you the phenomenon? I said, you remember that. That was good.
I made you 6 feet tall.
That's right. And I'm not even 6 feet.
You know what I was going.
I ain't gonna lie. When she crossed the street, pardon me, I kind of did look back. I was like, man, she's still got nice ass on. My buddy was like, how you know her? I was like, yeah, back in college, me and her was kind of a one-night thing or whatever for this part. She was like, wait, what? I don't discriminate. Size, race, age, doesn't matter. You got a working vagina, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Yeah, you could be bow-legged and crippled with three titties, shit. Hey, if you say yes to me, shit, then, hey, all bets off, man.
You're just going to be a story on a future podcast episode.
Goddamn right, shit. Hey, what other podcast would you rather be on than the voice of the voiceless greatest podcast ever to be hosted on MoviesFoolsPodcast.com?
None.
That's right, then. But see, it's Black History Month.
It is. Which you guys destroy.
People keep saying that, but I think we put it in a good light.
last year, we destroyed it with 3 out of 4 bad movies.
Oh, was it 3? Okay, I thought it was like 7.
Probably.
Probably like 20, but, you know, I think When Night Catches Us is the only good one, actually.
Right.
But this year, I thought we'd start off with something a little bit more in the... Well, I guess last year was kind of racist, too, to be honest, when you get down to it.
This one topped off.
I think this one's more out of the last year one. This one's more intentionally, though.
Yeah, in a funny sort of way.
In a satire way. Last year, with Soul Plane, I Got the Hook Up So Late, they were racist on ignorance.
Right. Oh, speaking of I Got the Hook Up, that's Taco Bell's motto now. On their bags. It says, I got the hookup.
You fucking with me, right?
No. I'll send you a picture.
Oh my god, I want to go to Taco Bell.
I will send you the picture of the bag.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. You know, I gotta tell you about Taco Bell. I haven't ate there in years. Fucking years. brother was going to San Diego State, and I would drop him off down there. And, everybody always talk about Taco Bell, Taco Bell. I hear it so fucking much. I finally just decided on my drive back home, I was just like, let me stop at this Taco Bell. I got one taco, one of those Dorito Loco tacos. One taco. And I was like, let me try this out. Let me see what the shell tastes like. That's what I was curious about. I ate that one taco, and I shat as if I had diarrhea or constipation or something like that. I was like, Jesus Christ. I was like, fuck. That was a one taco. I was like, God damn, dude. I was like, they wasn't lying about this shit. So, people, here's a notion. If you're ever constipated, just go to Taco Bell.
It'll clear you up.
Oh, it'll fucking clear you up like a motherfucker. I was just sitting there just going like, damn. I was like, I think this is probably one of the best shits I've ever taken.
Yeah, you got like, you have like 500 million taco places by you, so.
I know. I never would go to Taco Bell. I know when Jason Murphy from RaidSelect.com came out here and we were talking about Taco Bell, and he just said, yeah, it doesn't make no sense for you to go out to Taco Bell because of all the, show around. Plus, we don't have that many Taco Bells over here.
No, we have a Taco Bell, and we have a Del Taco, and then we have Mexican restaurants.
Yeah, see, I'm not a fan of Mexican food that's not homemade. I don't like Mexican food outside. Like, maybe I'll eat is carne asada taco, but since I don't eat cheese, I'm very limited on what I can eat. I was telling my ex that, and she was just like, well, not everything in Mexican food is made with cheese. I said, you're a goddamn lie. Everything
is. I said,
you niggas will find everything to put cheese on. I said, y'all gave me a hot dog the other day. Somehow that motherfucker was wrapped in cheese and shit like that. I was like, you motherfuckers put cheese on everything.
I think the drinks have cheese in it.
Yeah, it's funny because the Spanish people, they always talk about, how can I lose weight or die? I know so many Spanish chicks or whatever out here, whatever, they tell me about losing weight and stuff like that, which look good. They probably look great to me, but they always talk about losing weight. And then I see them eating, like, platters of, like, anything with, like, enchiladas with cheese and shit like that. And they go, like, I need to stop eating all this food. It's like, no, that cheese has the most saturated fat in it. That's what's giving you the little. Damn, this is an extravagant-ass exclusive rewards and offers. I've got the hookup.
Yep.
I'll be goddamn. Wow, this is.
I wonder if they had to trademark that with Master P.
Damn. Or you gonna call their lawyers on him?
He just got more money.
He probably getting royals to this.
Oh, God.
I never be royals, royals. You and I don't remember that Lord song. Whatever. But people, we're talking about Watermelon Man. Watermelon Man. That 1970s classic. I'll look at this poster. I love it. You know, I ain't gonna lie. At first, I was like, whatever with the movie. And then the later it got to the ending, I was like, man, this is a fucked up movie.
It is.
This is a fucked up movie. I was like, is there anything positive? That's like, when it was wrapping up, I was like, is anything positive gonna come out of this?
Really? There wasn't really.
I was like, oh, he fucked that white girl. Yeah, that's pretty positive. We gotta start, give a plus to Zeke.
Watermelon Man, directed by Melvin Van Peeble, starring Godfrey Cambridge, Estelle Parsons. Box office $1.1 million, and Godfrey plays Jeff Gerber, who is a white annoying man. I don't know what the fuck his problem was.
I don't know how to describe him, because I remember back in the day they was like, oh, he plays this white racist guy, whatever. But like, he's necessarily not like terribly racist.
No.
Like, oh, you niggers. He plays it to where he's kind of. He doesn't care about offending people, basically. And I'm talking about every race, not just black people too. He'll offend everybody, every race.
Yeah, that's the best way. Because I was like, he's not really overly racist. I mean, he doesn't really care about, because this was like when the riots were going on.
Yeah, when all the riots and stuff like that.
And his wife kept watching it, and he didn't care.
Yeah, and I mean, he was even, he made jokes with white people, even black, like that dude in the bus. He was just like, back in that day, they would have to drive the bus from back here, and he would just laugh about it and crack up and stuff like that. And I never once got the feeling off him that he was a racist man. I just found that people just were annoyed of him. That's all.
A lot of his, a lot of his stuff, they seem like like a dad joke.
Yeah.
That's what his jokes seem like. They were like dad jokes.
I love when Estella Parsons, when he said that joke, and she was like, wasn't funny yesterday, and it ain't funny today, neither, and it won't be funny tomorrow, or whatever. He was like, well, I'll just keep on saying it, then. I was like,
that was good.
I gotta say, it was, this was rated R, surprisingly, which I was like, I think the biggest word in here was nigger, right?
Yeah, I mean, you had the flashes of nudity, but that's PG-13, really.
They showed some titties, yeah, but yeah, like you said, today's standards, that'd be kind of almost PG-13-ish in a way.
Right.
She had some nice ass titties on her too, by the way.
She did. She did.
I motorboat the fuck out of those titties.
Well, Jeff Gerber's an insurance salesman who's lives in a 1970s world where black people aren't really looked upon great, and he goes
still not.
And he it's true. And he goes to bed, he wakes up, and he winds up a black man.
So he's, I want to say this right now, Godfrey Cambridge is the first man to invent whiteface.
He was.
Wow, this is a history and Throwback Tuesday right here, see? The first movie ever to develop whiteface. And look what we got to it today with, White Chicks. Wow, we really improved from this, haven't we, Z?
And Nick Cannon.
Oh God.
Do you think if this movie was made now, do you think there'll be an uproar?
You know, I was watching it on whose side, though? That's what I was trying to think. Because white people don't seem to really get offended by movies, unless it does, like, unless it insults black people nowadays. It's the only time white people get mad. White people try so their best not to offend black people nowadays, and, like, they'll act. So, P1, how do you feel about the Oscar boycott? And in their head, they're just going like, I can't wait for him to say I don't like it so I can join on his side or whatever. And then I say, I don't really give a fuck about that. I think the Oscar boycott is stupid. And they go like, I'm with you, right? Whatever. That Oscar boycott is stupid. You're right. You're totally right. But I bet if I was to say, yeah, they should boycott all this white people nomination, where they'd be like, I agree. I totally agree with you. So,
yeah, you're right.
White people don't really get offended except for us nowadays, for black people.
I don't know, because the Nick Cannon thing caused a major uproar. Well, that's probably just because it's Nick Cannon.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it was more so because it's Nick Cannon. And I was about to say, did it really cause an uproar? I think he made it more of an uproar than anybody else did.
Well, he's just trying to get fame.
He said he was trying to make light of racism with his comedic moments. I looked at him and was just like, you are not the nigga for that, I'm sorry.
And you're comedic?
You're not even. He's an entrepreneur, Z. I don't know if you knew that. I know. I know.
It's just this movie had a lot of. This was in the 70s, and it was like a lot of timely jokes, which is funny now, because it was funny because every time a cop was by him when he was black, he goes, We think he stole something, we just can't prove it yet. That was funny.
You know, it's funny to watch a movie like this today and see if, like, I guess some of the jokes they're making about black people, can it hold up today? And I gotta say, I thought this movie kind of held up as far as where the jokes went.
Yeah, I mean, given the times, yeah.
Especially because, like you said, this is 1970 this film was made and set in, and then you fast forward to 2016, and it's just like, to answer the question you asked earlier, would this film be relevant today? I think if this film was made today, it'd be hella relevant still. It'd be like, wow, it's funny how this is. You know, we're watching a lot of older timepiece movies, period movies, such as Selma and stuff like that, and we look at it today and go like, it really ain't that much different today, is it?
No, it's not. You're right. You're absolutely right.
It's like, damn, I guess when you hit any kind of racism towards any type of race or stereotype, whatever, and you seen it like a period piece of 1954 or something like that, or 70 or whatever, and you watch it, they go like, wow, I don't really see that big of a difference. I don't think I've ever watched a movie that was like making fun of between the racial tensions between white and black people today where I went like, that's just, that doesn't happen. That's out of place, right? Or anything like that. It's out of touch. I think all these movies still are relevant to us.
They are. I mean, when he went to the quote black side of town.
I like how he told the taxi dude, take me to the black side of town. Where that taxi driver looked at him and was like, oh, okay.
He goes,
I kept saying, going to Harlem, Harlem.
He goes in that shop. As soon as he runs in that shop, the store clerk, who's black, puts up his hands like he's being robbed.
diner, the black guy.
Yes.
He treated him because he was black and not white no more.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God, that is so fucking relevant right there. Like, he's like, why is this white guy, I mean, this black old guy treating this white guy so nicely right here? Even after all the jokes he's cracking and stuff like that, but then when he turned black, he was just like, you wait your turn right now. He's like, I'm handling something right now. I was like, oh my God. That was probably like one of the most best subtle jokes of the whole film.
Right it kind of, it kind of, one of the things, it's kind of like the white people freaked out, but the black people just, you can tell they like didn't care. Yeah, they didn't care.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It actually showed them in a good light.
Yeah, you're right about that. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah, it does show us in a good light. It's just like we don't really, I guess what the movie kind of basically says, we don't care what color you are, really. You know?
Right.
You're still a human being to us and stuff like that. I guess that is a good point you bring. I guess the movie was trying to show how white people will judge you so differently by the color of your skin and how other races will look at you and go like, I don't really give a damn who you are. I mean, you still paying for this and blah, 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 and this and that, or whatever. So, this is a good point you make.
Like, the only white person that really cared was the... Was she French? What was she?
I want to say she was, like, from, like, the Soviet or Ukraine or something like that. Probably Romania. She sounded like she had a Romanian accent or something like that. And she treated him like crap when he was white. Well, she didn't treat him like crap, but she just didn't care. But then when he turned black... I love the camera angles of this, how it kept, like, zooming in on her face. And
yeah.
I won't say she's, like, a great actress, but her facial expressions were so good because you could tell, like, what she was doing. And she was just like, ooh. But she didn't even really, like, do too much or say too much, but I don't know what it was about her facial reaction. You could tell, like, she's into that brother now.
Yeah. And, I mean, she even gave him his number. And what'd she say?
Yeah.
I want to see your switchblade.
Yeah, when she said that, I was like, God damn. Well, yeah, I think that was one thing I like about Throwback Tuesday when we do these 1970 films and stuff like that, or these older films, is the acting in these type of movies are so subtle today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you still can catch them. I think that's what made these actors back then so good.
Right.
Is that they really didn't have to do much to get a point across. They didn't have to say much to get an expression across or anything like that. I really like that about... Because once again, I'm not saying that chick was the best actress. She probably is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
I didn't even know she had an accent until they slept with each other. I was like,
exactly. Oh, yeah, I didn't either.
And then, but her facial reactions to when he was white to when he turned black was just so good.
Mm-hmm. And it's like people knew his voice, and he still freaked out.
Yeah, I even liked. I liked though his wife towards the end. She kind of got a little annoying, whatever. I was just like, okay, whatever. But I liked. How she was at the first two parts of the movie. I thought she was cool. Even how she handled it, she kind of took it as a laughing match. She was just laughing. And then I think her fear of, like, basically what the neighbors were going to do kind of, like, took over her mind as far as, you know, injuring her or the kids or something like that. Because,
right.
Man, they were getting calls every day, get out of town, nigga.
I think it was the same guy,
too. Yeah, I like how he handled it, though. He was just like, no, can he take a message, though?
What was the one he goes, he's out picking cotton, can I take a message?
I did like how he strangled them into $100,000.
Yes, that was, and they were like, well, this is the highest we'll go is 60. And he goes, he just kind of just kept upping it at the 70, then 80, then 90.
Yeah, because he was, and I liked the conversation with his wife, and she was just like, you're using this as an example to, like, not belittle yourself, but get more advantages out of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's so relevant to today. I was like, you don't know how many black people try to use their color as an advantage to them.
Hey, given the time in the 70s, he fucking won.
And, you know, here's the thing about that, too, though. It felt so relevant, though, to today. I was like, damn, have we grown as people then? I was like, man, because watching this movie today, I was like, if it wasn't for the way it was shot or the old style music or
yeah.
If it would have just been up-to-date HD version and you put this on my screen watching it today, I'd have been like, I would have thought I was watching a movie made in 2016 the way it talked about the topics and shit.
Oh, yeah. This is actually a perfect movie for what's going on now.
I mean, if you were just to update this to HD, you wouldn't be able to tell the fucking difference.
No. I mean, yeah, it did have that that 60s and 70s movie making.
Yeah.
I don't understand what happened when he was working in the shipping yard.
Yeah.
Then he saw the doctor, where it's like, it's just like a montage, and then with...
I loved how the fucking doctor just got rid of him. He was just like, well, basically what I'm going to tell you is, I got another doctor, he's of your color, he's going to help you. I love how just all the white people just turned on him, though. It was just like, I'm going to start sending you here.
And the doctor's like, you don't have hay fever. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
And the doctor keeps calling him every hour, he's like, oh god, I don't know. And you know what I like about the movie too is that it doesn't make the doctor, it doesn't make them racist. What the movie does, it shows them that they were just there. All these people that he's encountered with are just more of afraid of either what could happen to them or what losing their businesses or stuff like that, or people just not getting customers and stuff like that because they're friending with a black person.
Right.
Because a lot of everybody knows, well, at least I'd like to think, every white person wasn't racist. A lot of them were just out of fear, you know.
No, his boss, like, loved it.
Oh, yeah, his boss was like, oh, shit, we're going to hit a whole market now, whatever. we couldn't get. His boss kind of was getting a little racist, though, I got to say, because he was talking about, those people don't understand what this is. I was like, all right, that's pretty racist. But the movie, I know Selma did this. It was just like, you know, every white person wasn't racist. But then when they befriended with the black guys and stuff like that, or Martin Luther King, those white people got attacked. The middle of that film, like they were attacking, hospitalized and shit like that, and that was a true statement too. It's just like, you know, cause especially kids too, because the parents will tell the kids don't hang around them, you know, because something may happen to you, and that's a true statement. A white person that was extreme racist back then saw a white person hang out with a black person, 9 times out of 10 they go after that white person more so than the black person,
right?
And I think this movie did a good job of explaining these other professions, such as the doctor, the wife, and stuff like that, showing that how, you know, we can't be caught with you. We don't want to lose our business or anything like this because we live in a predominantly racist town, if anything.
Yeah, well, at least the wife did it out of protecting her kids due to the neighbors and stuff.
Hell yeah, because I'm sure. I mean, they were already picking on him when he was on the kids when they were white. They were talking about, oh, your father runs after the bus and stuff like that. He chases the bus and shit.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all.
I didn't understand that neither. I was just like,
him being the white guy, I did not understand it.
And then he was just over happy and energetic like a motherfucker throughout the whole movie too.
Right, and yeah, and he like what did a tanner twice?
Yeah, he was working. But the thing about it too is just like even the boss said, "Why are you so your energy right now is making me sad." And it's like, damn, I don't know what he was so goddamn happy about, but. I think I kind of like that about him because it's like no matter with all the, I guess it's hard to say for a white guy because I guess in a way he's saying white people really don't have to worry about anything at this time.
Uh-huh.
Everything we do is going to be fine. But once he became black, you notice how his persona and his personality just changed quickly.
Yeah,
he started slowly being miserable and depressed and shit.
I mean, he was like really racist about it at the beginning when he was black. But he slowly kind of accepted it.
I think he even said it at one point in the movie too. He's just like, I just accept this being black, whatever.
I think that's what I think when after he had sex with the girl.
Yeah.
I think that's when because he called her a big, and when he left, I knew she was gonna scream rape.
Did she? Oh, when she said that, I was just like looking. I was like, my fucking god! I was like, man. And, you know, I've heard stories of that, too. You know, I got family that live in Louisiana and shit. Like, they live... Now, granted, they're Creole, so they're white as shit, but still, you know. But they tell me about that all the time. It's like, come down here and say that. White girls are quick to scream that rape shit. But if you're a half breed or black or something, I was like, Jesus Christ. So when I heard that in the movie, I was just like, is she really screaming rape right now? Oh, my God.
I knew that was coming. I mean, because he, like, called her a bigot and just everything under the sun to call, you know, because that's all. She just wanted it because of skin color and stuff.
I was going to say, though, how relevant that is for her to be screaming rape, too, though, because, you know, we live in this society nowadays where
everyone is
so quick to scream out just, you know, words, whether it's rape, sexual predator, or creepy, or creep, or anything like that, or whatever, you know, how relevant that is, too, to us, Hansi.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's the way. I mean, look at Bill Cosby.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say. Nowadays they say that you have to ask the woman of consent if you're gonna do a certain position, or she can literally scream rape on you or whatever. It's like, what? I remember one time I did that. I was fucking around. I was like, would you mind if I turn you over on your stomach and fuck you in the ass? And she looked at me and said, why are you asking me that? I said, because I'm asking for your consent. Because you're not about to scream rape on me. or like, if you, like, you know, aggressive or anything like that, and right. A woman, say this is the first time you're having sex with a woman, you're, like, aggressive, you're grabbing her in ways she's not used to, she can easily scream that, and then say that, I didn't give him consent to do that, you literally could go to jail for that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh man, if you're a guy, you're pretty much fucked. if you're a guy, you're fucked, dude. I mean, trust me, I'm gonna tell you this right now, guys, do not fuck your enemy if she's a chick or anything like that. I'm telling you this right, do not fuck her. If she holds some grudge or something like that, man, stay 3 feet away from that girl. I'm telling you this right now. I'm not saying women do that, but, you know, hey, if you want some quick ass revenge on somebody, shit.
Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't end the movie right there, too.
You know, him getting arrested?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. The end of the movie kind of was like that nigga lived in Harlem. He literally did move to Harlem too. That nigga had bars on his window and shit. You saw that shit?
Yeah. He got his own company.
I love it because he had leather couches that were black and shit. I was like, damn. He straight up bought like Negro furniture and shit too.
Hey, if you got $100,000, I would buy the shittiest place.
Oh fuck yeah! I mean, you know, I guess it is kind of a positive light in a way, right? I mean, he bought his own company.
Right.
Yeah, like you said, he got the $100,000 off, then he forced his own company and stuff like that. And plus, what I like about him too is he didn't try to shice the black people over, knowing that they couldn't afford certain insurance and stuff. He didn't just like force it on them. He said they can't afford it, so I'm not going to give it to them.
Yeah, I think they said that as a white person too, didn't they? When he was shown insurance.
Yeah.
He was an honest salesman.
Yeah, he was an honest salesman, which was funny because he was so annoying that you just like, you expect him to fuck over a lot of people, right?
Right. You would think that.
Yeah, but he was just such a, I guess he was just an attention grab. He just liked a lot of fucking attention or something like that. He had to be the talk of the town, basically.
Yeah, I can kind of see that.
He had to be the talk of anywhere he went. He just had to make, he always had to leave an appearance, basically.
Yeah, and he looked, he legitimately looked like a white person at the beginning.
Yeah, he did, actually. I mean, the later the movie went on, I kind of started to tell he was black. I was like, yeah.
That's like pretty good. That's pretty good for those standards back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Man, do you remember, I like that montage you saw. They were giving him such shitty jobs and shit like that. Cause that was before he quit the insurance.
Yeah, that's why I didn't understand. I didn't understand that.
Well, he's going to quit. Basically, that's what I got. He's going to quit because, you know, his sales and shit was fucked up and everything. So he was just wondering if he can get another job. So I guess he went to an employment agency, and the best they could get him was that fucking, I guess, working at the dump and shit.
Yeah, because he had two master's degree and all that stuff. Yeah. And they're like,
he had all the qualifications to be, like, the best of the best sitting and gave him a dump. And I was just like, damn, ain't that a bitch.
Yeah. I think it was just weird placement of the movie that they had that.
Towards that third act, there was a lot of weird placement, I gotta say, though.
It was. The camera angles are sweet. I like some of those. There were a lot of fun angles. They weren't, like, professional angles, but a lot of fun angles. When he attacked the,
they were colorful.
When he attacked the mailman?
Yeah.
Did he have a knife? What was he holding?
I couldn't tell what he was holding either. I didn't know what that was. I love it because, like, from the tanning booth, ah!
Oh, when he first saw his black?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it where it changed. I think it had every different color.
Yeah.
That was so cool.
Yeah, because it was like racist.
That was cool. I like that.
The camera angles were very like 1970 colorful jazzy type. They had a lot of jazz music playing too in the background. I like the music a lot in the film. But
I did too, yeah.
Like, towards that third act, like you said, with when he shifted the jobs and shit like that, they were playing the music too loud over the audio of the dialogue at some points and shit like that. And it was like, and not even so much like the rhythm of the music, but they were playing horns loud.
Yeah, and like, they had, I can't think of a part. I remember the song because it says, "Where are the children?" I'm like, that song sounds so familiar to me for something. Mm-hmm. And then that was like so loud. It took over. It pretty much, some of the music took over the movie.
Yeah, it did. And I don't know if they did that intentionally on purpose or they just didn't give a fuck about the sound check, but it was just kind of awkward how the music was just blaring over some of the dialogue at this point, too.
Right. And Melvin Van Peebles, he made the music, too.
Oh, did he make the music, too? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Talented motherfucker, then.
Except when he's making a son.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is... that is very true, yes.
he didn't do too good.
No. He's still alive, too, from what I'm saying.
83.
Hey, I was going to say, he's 83 or 84, I believe, right?
He does. Him and his son, they do look alike.
I know, looking at him and shit. He looked like a darker version of Red Fox.
Yes. Yes, he does. Skinnier version, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes. But I don't know, the longer the movie went on, the more I found myself more smiling with it. Because at first I thought I was going to be annoyed with it. Mm-hmm. And then the longer it went on, because there is a couple of, like I think the racial overtones were a little overbearing at some points where it just felt kind of pointless or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it felt like it was trying to get its point across too strong. And I don't know if it's just because the main actor is just so loud and blaring over it, and he's like just so over the top compared to everybody else where they're playing it, it's so mellow and shit. But I thought I was going to get annoyed with that. But the longer the film went on, I kind of found myself enjoying more of the technical aspect of the film.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was like reading up on it after I watched it, and Columbia, before Melvin attached to his director, they were going to cast a white guy to put black to be a white guy and then put black paint on him.
That probably would have been funny.
But he changed it, and then there's two endings to the movie.
Oh yeah, I heard about the two endings. Yeah,
where he wakes up as a white man.
The way it goes with the white man, yes. I've only seen clips. I've never seen that full feature film.
No, it's on a DVD.
Yeah, it's on the DVD Blu-ray edition. I've never seen that personally.
No, I like how it ended.
I like how it ended, too. With his wife calling them and stuff like that.
Yeah. I like that.
You know, pretty much checking him sending money. I mean, it never once made him out to be a bad man, whether he was white or black.
No, he actually became a better man.
Yeah, I will say that, yeah. He really did become a better man. Taking care of himself, taking care of the community. He's more toned down, stuff like that. And I will say, yeah, he did become a better man because he started actually investing his time more so in the black community.
Right.
Especially with the insurance thing, which is why he opened up his own insurance agency.
Yeah.
It's funny, we opened up the review saying not really positive anymore, but thinking about it, I was like, actually, there's a lot of positivity in there.
Yeah, I mean, he actually, like, he was completely honest. I guess he had his insurance company cost money because he got someone to sign up for a better plan that helps them rather than the company.
Yeah.
Like, he became a better person and also became a better person to the black people. So there is, like, a hidden message in there that you would really have to think about to watch it, which is, it's a good thing.
Yeah, because that message isn't overblaring tones are.
No.
Because racial tones is overblaring, but like you said, it's a hitting message of you get to feel what it's like now to be on that side of the specter.
Yeah. And Godfrey died 6 years after this was made.
Yeah, I was about to say, was it six? I thought it was like four or something like that.
76, he died.
Oh, okay, yeah.
43.
Damn. He was 43, Jesus Christ, man. So he was only like 38 when this movie was around 37, 38 or something.
Yeah.
He looked pretty damn good. I got to say, I'm going to pass him for 30 at least in this movie.
He looked like another actor. I just couldn't picture who it was.
Oh, yeah. Even in Whiteface, he looked like Dave Chappelle on Whiteface.
Yes. I'm not joking. Yeah, you're right.
I was just waiting for him to say, how about a cauliflower?
I loved the humor when he put all that makeup on. Like he said, how do black people put white makeup on?
I like it because this motherfucker was taking milk baths and shit like that. I was like, how is milk gonna help?
He had that plaster on his face.
I love it because when life came back, I was like, oh, he's dead. I said, he's gotta be dead now. There's no way in hell he can be alive still. There's no way in fuck he's alive. I don't know how the fuck he got that on, whatever, but this motherfucker was drinking like cartons of milk and shit. I like how his kids didn't see him any differently though.
No. That was actually kinda cool that he did that.
I think what was cool about it is like it's a message in that saying like people aren't born racist, you make racist.
That's a very good point.
So, because these kids just looked at him and just said, "Oh, hey, daddy," and he was just like, "You guys are not overblown." They just like, "You just look a little darker. That's all." And he's like, "Did you tan yourself? What happened?"
Everyone thought that too. Everyone thought he overtanned.
I mean, what else would you? I wouldn't know what to think about. I love how the whole office just stared at him. It was just like, the hell happened to him?
First he thought it was a tan, then he's like, the lights in the house ain't that great. I'm gonna go outside.
I love the part when the cop took him back to his job after he tried to go into that place where he had a meeting at.
Yeah.
And then they just told him, he's just like, we know he stole something, we just can't find it yet. I was like, what the fuck?
And when he was at that bar at the end, those cops just frisked those one guy.
Yeah, frisked that two guys.
Two guys.
It was like at a bar, like a burlesque bar or some shit, like a strip club bar almost in a way.
Yeah.
Except she wasn't completely topless or whatever. And they just like randomly put these two dudes up against the wall and searched them. I was like, what in the fuck? I was like, these cops weren't even in the bar. They just literally walked in the bar and frisked these dudes.
It puts white people in a very bad light.
Oh, and then they just like stopped and stared at Jeff Gerber. They just stopped and stared at him. He just stared back at him in the window, and they were just like kind of pointing at him, just kept walking. I was like, "What in the fuck, dude?"
When he was telling the names to the doctor, Jefferson Washington Gerber.
And then he explained it to him. He was just like, back in slavery time, when the slaves got free, most of them were able to pick their names, and a lot of them picked the names of past and present presidents. And he looked at them and said, "You're trying to convince me that I'm something that I'm not."
And he said his wife's name was Jemima.
Althea Jemima Gerber, right?
Yes.
And he just looked at him and he's like, what's your kids' names?
I couldn't remember what those were.
It was Burton Gerber and was Janice. I can't remember their middle names, but it was like he said their full names, right? But it was Burton Gerber was the son, and Janice Gerber was the daughter. And he just kind of stopped writing, just looked at him, and was just like, "You sure there ain't any black heritage in your family tree line somewhere?" And I love when he gave him a call back. He was just like, he didn't really have anything to say. He just said, "Well, face it, and nothing else to say, but you're black."
Yeah.
You gotta commit to that doctor though for staying up so late night doing research.
it's probably a medical mystery.
Yeah, it's a fucking medical mystery. It's like, we gotta solve this, really. I mean, all the doctors he named to me, I was like, wow, they really were working on this thing. I was like, how come doctors today aren't that good?
Yeah, I mean, I actually liked Jeff Gerber as a black person more than a white person.
Oh, fuck yeah, same here.
I mean, I didn't think he liked his wife. I didn't think they loved each other, just at the beginning.
It was kind of like a mid, like a little minor subplot of him not really liking his wife in the film, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know who she is, and I don't like her because her voice is so annoying.
She plays that 1970s stereotypical mom, actually. Like that Brady Bunch style type mom or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's there.
It's Wednesday.
You know who she looks like? She looks like the chick from, okay, you remember the Dave Chappelle skit, The Nigger Family?
Yeah.
She looks like the wife in that.
I'm going to have to revisit it, but, okay.
Yeah, she looks just like, but she even talks like her and everything. I mean, it was that stereotypical white woman in the 50s through 80 period time period, where she just played that. I think that they gave her a lot to do. She had a lot of screen time.
She did. She did. Second most.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, possibly so, yeah. I think that's why I probably enjoyed her more, because she could have easily just been a background filler just saying, "You'll be all right, honey," or something like that, but she had a lot of dialogue.
Yeah. But Godfrey was the... He wasn't at the star. He was absolutely the golden in this role.
Very charismatic guy, I gotta say.
He was. He was so charismatic. White person, overly charismatic.
Overly charismatic, like a motherfucker, yes.
Like, I had no idea what his purpose was as a white person. I really don't.
He really was trying to steal the show in this movie. Like, I don't think he was trying to give anyone... Had this been today, this been his first movie, I'd have been like, yeah, that guy was trying to leave an impression.
Maybe that's what Melvin Van Peebles thinks of white people.
Hey, probably so.
It has
to be. I kind of see it then, whatever. He's probably saying, like, the white person is just, like, so bragging with or whatever. Like, they like to brag about, you know, their riches and their family and stuff like that, that they stop to forget to see the little people, which are, like, you know, the bus drivers and stuff like that, the black people. That right. were pretty much doing their side work to help them get to where they're at as far as being.
Well, at first I thought when the guys on the bus were saying let's go let's not get him, I thought they didn't like him.
Mm-hmm. It's like a fucking challenge. They never explain like why was he chasing the bus.
And the kids wanted to watch him, and the mom was kind of a bitch.
I think he was kind of being cheap.
Yeah,
I remember there was a joke saying, "Oh, if you saved as much money, Ryan," because I remember he was pretty much meeting the bus halfway.
Mm-hmm.
To where he worked and shit like that, but it was like, how can any motherfucker be up that early, so energetic, wanting to fucking chase the bus and shit?
Maybe he did some speed beforehand.
Nah, he looked like he was smoking some speed, so yes, I could see that. Yes, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
It's getting final thoughts, Z.
This is actually a very entertaining movie. It's got, we said it before, it's got a lot of hidden meanings to it that really, like, in a positive light. It's a, you know, 70s movie. It's a very bad time for African Americans. But this really showed them in a very positive light towards the end. I'm going to give this a very high run it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm up there with you. I agree completely with everything you said. At first, I was like, in the first 10 minutes, I was probably a little annoyed because, like you said, this white side was just over the fucking top. I kind of get what they were going for, but I thought it was going to be like that throughout the whole movie. It was kind of annoying at first, but I got used to it. And, you know, the longer the film went on, I kind of looked at the characters as more of a background drop and then just mm-hmm. started looking at the technical aspect of it, like you said, with the colors, the music, because they played a lot of music in this movie. Almost every scene had a different tone playing or whatever. And I was like, I was kind of captivated with the music a little bit. I'm not going to lie, I was enjoying that a lot, especially the trombone stuff. I do think that the music was a little bit at fault, too, though.
Yeah. Because
some of it was overbearing as well over the dialogue, which I was like, I don't think it's the right time to be playing the horns at this point right here.
Right.
But I actually enjoyed myself a little bit more. Like you said, Godfrey Cambridge, man, he's fucking charismatic, entertaining as shit or whatever. I mean, this guy, he's basically saying, hey, I'm going to leave an impression. You're going to remember me, especially in this movie, because I'm going to outshine everyone else. Like you said, the social satire they had in here, there were like hidden messages and stuff. It's what I like about it is it's not beating you upside the fucking head. It's something you really have to think about in order to see. I think it's actually an interesting concept too. Just, you know, especially how movies were made back then, where things just happened, no explanation why they just happened, and you went along with it. We do so many of these movies on Throwback Tuesday where we watch these older movies and go like, why did that happen? Why did this happen? When I watched this movie and him waking up black, I don't know how you felt, but I necessarily didn't care how he woke up. Black. I just said, I'm with the premise and I'm with the story with it now.
It really pulls you in.
Which is shocking because a lot of films can't do that. Especially when we go back and look at these older films, I tend to question why that even happened and go like, well, back then they didn't really care. But I think that this is probably one of the first films we did on Throwback Tuesday where something wasn't explained and I kind of went along with it because I was lost in its world.
Yeah, I don't actually care.
Yeah, same here, too. I was just like, who cares? I was like, he's black now, he's in the situation now, so let's see how he deals with it. I'm going to get a little bit notch above you. I'm going to go low C it then. I actually enjoyed myself a little bit more. I was going high rent, but the more I think about it, I think you probably convinced me a little bit more, especially bringing up some of the color tones and the more positive light it had. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go low C it on it then.
Yeah.
Enjoyed this movie a lot.
I did, too.
It's shocking because we don't normally do that with older movies.
No, we don't. Not at all.
Maybe that's what you do at the end of the year. The top five old movies that we still enjoy.
Should.
I can give you a worst of, probably. Oh, get on to some questions now.
Right.
All right. My man, Daryl, Sammy's guy, he says, you guys sound ridiculous. It's a fucking Western. He's talking about, what's this movie called?
Dances with Wolves.
Oh, Dances with Wolves? I love that poster, too. You summed that up pretty right, though. All right,
never that was the worst like, poster of all time.
Like, what the fuck this got to do with anything? I thought that was Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it looks like it. I'm looking at the page now. Like, yeah, it can look like Tom Cruise. Pretty good.
Says it's a fucking Western. Just because it doesn't feel like a Western doesn't make it a Western. It has Western elements, therefore, like Z said, it's one of its subgenres.
You're absolutely right.
I think you said that, though, Z.
Yeah, I don't know why he's looping me into that, because I did say it's a subgenre.
Well, he's commenting you. I mean, complimenting you.
Okay.
I mean, I think he's talking shit to Sammy.
Pretty much.
Yeah, Daryl don't talk shit to us. That's Sammy's enemy.
That's her ride or die.
That's why she's not here.
Yep. Daryl, bring her back.
Daryl broke her. That's what it was. He broke her.
Yeah.
One of these spoiled ambassadors finally broke a host.
She couldn't handle it no more.
She couldn't handle it. Hey, you know what? You know?
Daryl wins.
You broke her, Daryl. I don't know what to say, man. I guess I need to send you a shirt. I come to find out that most women can't take, they just can't take it, you know? You know what I'm saying? See?
They can only go a certain while.
Yeah, you know, Lena was the first, couldn't take it no more. Now Sammy, you know, she can't take it, you know, it's cool. Actually, we don't know what happened to Sammy. She's actually missing right now, but we still don't know.
She'll be on the back of a milk carton next week.
Yeah, she is white, so yeah, stick her on there.
Yeah. Native American, so she might not be found.
Speaking of Western, I did a Western review not too long ago. Last week, right? Jane Got a Gun.
Jane Got a Gun.
Joel Edgerton was great in that, man.
Yeah, Joel Edgerton's really breaking out now. I mean,
think about watching that movie, Jane Got a Gun. Man, I said in the review, said again, because I watched it again. I was gonna say Joel Edgerton, man. Watching the movie, it's okay. It's not great. But I don't really expect greatness from Westerns nowadays. It was just simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
But Joel Edgerton, the way he was acting, I was like, God damn, dude. I was like, you acting probably way too good for this movie even, man. He was, him and Natalie Portman had some great chemistry in that film.
He's really breaking out into it. He's barely breaking out on his own.
He's so underrated.
He is directing, too. I mean, he did
The Gift.
The Gift. And Gift's not a bad movie.
You saw it?
Yeah, it's not a bad movie. It's a very, that ending, holy shit.
I love that ending.
I did too. I loved him. I Jason Bateman was okay, but I loved Edgerton.
I like the twist they did with him. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Jason Bateman in that limelight like that before.
Yeah, he wasn't funny. He was.
He was actually the bad guy.
Yeah, I really liked Edgerton. I really did.
I gave it that movie a C. I actually put it on my top 10 best summer list. I actually enjoyed it. I don't think it was in my top 5. I think it might have been my number 6, maybe. I can't remember, but I enjoyed that movie a lot. I actually own it, too. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah, it's really good.
I think I said to Cody, I said, that was 2015's, that was Gone Girl's 2015, was that movie The Gift.
Yeah, because it does a very good, interesting twist.
Mm-hmm. I think it did a really good job. I think the only problem I had with it is, it probably went on a little too long because like somewhere in the middle, it kind of just lingered with going back and forth. Kind of got a little repetitive at times, but I said, had they would have fixed that up, that would have been 2015's Gone Girl easily.
Yeah. Ran a little long.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say I would double feature with that in Gone Girl. Yeah. You'd be looking at your woman differently or your man. You'd be looking at him like, I don't trust this nigga, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, or if you watch a GIF, your woman would be looking at you like kind of skeleton in your closet.
And I really like Rebecca Hall.
Oh, she was good in it.
I liked her in The Town, too.
I liked that whole, the mystery around the movie was just good. The whole mystery of with Jason Bateman. And then that ending, like you said, it was just, that ending, you can have a terrible beginning of a movie, but if your ending sells it, you can get to see it from me, at least. And not to say that this movie had a terrible opening or anything like that, but that ending was just so unforgettable that you was just like, holy shit, dude. I was like, nah, that's That's the kind of mind fucking endings I like right there. I was like, damn.
That's kind of like an M. Night movie ending.
It's like a better M. Night movie.
Right.
Because what happens at the end, people, is that he pretty much films him about to rape his drugged up girlfriend or wife at that time, whatever. So, and he films it and he sends it to Jason Bateman's character, but then the tape just cuts off and he sends him a note saying, maybe it's your baby or maybe it's not. You don't ever know. And he's like, he's looking in the window looking at this child that was just born. And just like in his head, he's like, I don't fucking know if that's my kid or not now. And did my wife get raped or not now? It's like, such a fucking good ending.
Yeah, it's very strong cast. Very, very, very highly recommend that movie.
Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the sleeper hits of the summer last year.
It was. It after the summer movie started picking up. Well, it got released in August, got the same time as Fantastic Four.
And Straight Outta Compton, too.
Yeah, so that kind of really got forgotten. Mm-hmm. But as a thriller, it's a freaking on point.
That's why I love thrillers. I think it's like one of my favorite genres, because if you can do a thriller right like that movie did, damn, it'll leave you thinking about that movie.
And it had one of the most underrated actors, Wendell Pierce, in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot he was in that, yeah.
He's a detective. Love that guy.
Well, in Jane Got a Gun, him and Natalie Portman, both executive producers on the film.
Yeah, he's Edgerton. I think he's actually got a movie coming out soon that he's directing.
Well, I gotta say, for a first-time director being The Gift, that was his first time film directing, whatever, I gotta say, he did a fucking phenomenal job.
Yeah.
I think he's on that, if his next movie's a hit, man, he could be on that Ben Affleck trail. I'd be like, I don't want to see him in front of the camera no more. But like I said, he did a great job in front of the camera and behind the camera, though.
He's not a bad actor.
On that movie, The Gift, though, I gotta say, because everybody says that Ben Affleck's such a great actor. I think he's a good actor. I don't think he's great. But I gotta say, Joel Edgerton, man, for directing and starring in that movie, he did a fucking fantastic job, I must say.
He did. I mean, he's a really good actor. I mean, really good in Warrior.
Have you ever seen him do anything bad? Well,
no.
His performance being bad, at least?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now. I know he's done some movies where he's like, I don't know why he did it, but he wasn't bad. Okay.
No, I mean, bad thing?
I can name a bunch of bad movies, but not his performance, though. So.
I just don't remember. I remember him in it, but I don't remember his performance.
I don't remember anything about that movie, I'm not gonna lie. I remember the ending somewhat because I glanced through it, and when I saw it on TV the other day, I was like, ugh.
But I like it. I like him.
Mm-hmm. Next question I got from is Andrew. He says, LOL, damn. Tell us how you really feel about DC, Z. I felt some passion behind that hatred on DC. They aren't going to push no boundaries on Dawn of Justice because have you seen Jesse Eisenberg's goofy ass?
Yeah. DC's... Just
reenact that for you, Z.
Reenact
it? Boys, I just love seeing two people come together. Clark Kent meets Bruce Wayne. I just love seeing two people. Wow, you do not want to pick a fight with this guy right here.
And the role of Lex Luthor goes to TPO.
This is like man versus God, bat versus alien, the bat of Gotham versus son of Krypton. I was like, wow.
Oh my god.
Like narrating the fight? What is he doing?
We have 1 month. 1 month.
Actually, you're right. It comes out at the end of March, so yeah. Yeah. Oh god.
See, DC is just the polar opposite of Marvel. They take themselves way too seriously.
By making shit. I'm going to tell you this right now. I've said it before. After the last couple of things, I just don't give a fuck about DC anymore. You can call me a fanboy, whatever. I don't give a shit anymore. I don't really give a fuck what DC does. If any movie talking about it, just go to hell. Because I told Luke this the other day because they were like, well, I'm excited for Suicide Squad because it doesn't have Zack Snyder directed. And I said to him, I was saying, you do know that Snyder, both him and his wife are executive producers on every DC film from now on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're the consultants. And he was just like, oh, fuck me. So I was like, yeah, fuck, I really don't give a shit what DC does, to be honest.
No.
I think the dialogue is just fucking awful in that Suicide Squad trailer, too.
Because we're bad guys.
Oh, that was so fucking awful. And then, I'm sorry, the voices in my head told me, I was like, Harley Quinn, don't fucking act like, what the fuck is this shit? I don't give a fuck about none. And then Will Smith, he looks so fucking dry and dead. I'm starting to think that maybe he's not a good actor. Because I noticed in the last couple of movies I've been seeing him do where he's trying to do emotions and different facial reactions, he just can't pull them off. So I don't know if that's him being bored or he just don't know how to put an expression on his face where he's supposed to look like a badass who don't give a fuck.
No, in Concussion, I think he tried way too hard.
He tried way too hard by not doing research. He was doing a whole different continent accent and shit like that.
He lost his accent many times.
Not only that, the guy, there's an African dude who said he wasn't even using the right African accent for that. He said he was using a fucking Northern African accent, and the guy, the main actor was, the guy he's portraying was from West Africa.
I didn't know that.
I was like, damn, you didn't even do your fucking research, man. You're supposed to be a fucking actor. You didn't even do your research. How are you going to be playing a biopic movie of a character and you don't do your fucking research on an accent?
Tell the truth.
Yeah, tell the truth. Whatever. Fuck me. I'm starting to think maybe he's just not a good actor as everybody fucking think him do. Because thinking about it now, he really just do a lot of stupid fucking films, to be honest. And when he tries to do dramatic stuff, he looks kind of ridiculous.
Because it's not, action movies are his forte.
And plus, action movies, let's just be real, they're not that hard to pull off. You know, all you gotta do is just do a bunch of cool shit and people will go.
I mean, he's got his Oscar.
Has he won an Oscar?
Didn't he win one for Ali?
No, I don't think so. The two times he got nominated, he lost to Denzel and Forrest Whitaker.
Huh.
I don't think he's ever won one.
He's
never won one, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, you can tell he is trying so hard to be nominated for Best Actor for Concussion.
I think he really fucked his career up with Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
Because he has been failing completely, critically and financially. He can't even make $35 million budget back on
movie. And if Suicide Squad will make money, it's because it's a superhero movie.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's the only
success. Yeah, that doesn't mean... And plus, it's got Jared Leto.
That don't really mean anything. I think more
it's so an ensemble. That's what I meant. It's an ensemble. It's not straight Will Smith.
Not Jared Leto. You more so want to say it's got the Joker.
Okay, there you go.
No, nobody gives a fuck about Jared Leto. Let's be real about this.
No. I mean, he's a good actor, but...
Everybody keeps saying that. That motherfucker had like two movies. we'll see how good of an actor he is. We'll get to that part. And I love it because one of those movies, nobody's ever fucking saw, probably. So I'm talking about Dallas Buyers Club. So I got a film for you guys. Check out this film called Mr. Nobody. Yeah, he's the star of that film. And then you come back to me and tell me if he's a good actor. People's like, what the fuck is that? It's like, yeah.
I mean, he's in Lord of the War, which I hated that movie. Requiem for a Dream is good. I like that movie.
Requiem for a Dream, yeah.
Fight Club, but it wasn't him.
Dallas Buyers Club is the film. Yeah, he's okay in the rest of the film he just named. Dallas Buyers Club is the one where he really stuck out. So calling him a great actor that everybody keeps saying, I'm just like, yeah, I don't think we've seen that yet. So, I mean, that one movie, and basically that's what I'm going off of, Dallas Buyers Club. That don't make nobody a great actor.
He doesn't do a lot. He doesn't do a lot of movies.
No. And plus, I'm sorry, but everything about the Joker in that trailer, I was not feeling at all. I was just like, whatever.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about this. When he jumped into the water or whatever it was, and he pulled Harley Quinn out and there's paint everywhere, I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, don't tell me he painted himself then to be that pale.
Yeah.
Oh. I guess I don't really have a problem with that, whatever.
No, we still got, 6 months before it comes out?
I don't give a fuck. I'm not gonna lie. If I told Luke this, if I wasn't reviewing movies or whatever, I wouldn't even watch these movies.
No.
I would wait till they came to TV, and I would probably not even watch them then. I really wouldn't give a shit, to be honest. Even Dawn of Justice, I wouldn't even watch in theater. I wouldn't watch it all, to be honest.
No, that movie does that movie has to succeed, doesn't it?
Pretty much, yeah.
But Affleck's still gonna do the Batman, though, right?
Yeah, but Snyder's still fucking executive producer in the shit, so I really don't give a fuck. I don't think Affleck has any power in this fucking world, to be honest. I don't know. Everybody keeps saying that. I'm saying I don't think he has any power. I think Warner Brothers is going to fuck him over.
Probably.
Plus, he looks fucking ridiculous in this goddamn suit. I ain't gonna lie. Have you seen that new poster?
Yes.
Oh my, with him, Wonder Woman, and Superman, and he's in the middle and shit. I was like, wow, he looks fucking silly.
Not just bad casting.
Not bad suit, too. I mean, the suit looks good, but shit on you. With him in it, I'm like, I'm not feeling that at all. We're like some fucked up retard right now.
Well, you got Wonder Woman, who's a very bad casting.
And don't forget, hey, Mr. Snyder's on that, so yeah, I'm almost assuming. And plus, we have yet to hear a lick of dialogue from her yet, so.
Well, I know she can't act.
And if Snyder's writing her, then that already tells you right there, oh God, please be worried. But they're already projecting the movie to make $120 million opening weekend, which that sounds about right. I think it's going to make that probably.
I was going to go right from 95 to maybe 110.
Okay. I think it might hit 100 million. At least 100 million. At least it should have hit 100 million.
If it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, if it still hits a 90, it's still pretty fucking high. It should. I would say worldwide, I'm going to give it maybe 750 to 850 million worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even close to a billion. I'll give it that.
What's the budget? The budget's high, right?
Cody told me the budget was $400 million.
No.
Yeah.
That's like putting all their eggs in a basket.
Well, they're saying the whole Justice League was supposed to show up, and a lot of stuff was supposed to show up at the end, so that's why the budget got higher or something like that. Plus, the movie got pushed back twice, too, so the budget had to raise up, too, as well.
Well.
Actually, it got pushed back twice and then pushed up once. So yeah, that budget probably went up three times more just because of that alone.
What? I just read this. Fucking the Flash is in it.
Yeah, everybody's in it. I'm telling you, the Justice League shows up at the end. That was a rumor at first when Cody told me, but now it's been confirmed. Justice League is showing up at the end of the film.
Is that the same Flash guy from the TV show?
No, they're keeping that separate. Mm. This is a whole different Flash.
The TV show sucks.
You know, they all suck in DC.
No, I'll say more because it's CW, but...
Well, that too, but yeah, have you seen Supergirl? That's not on CW, and good lord, that show's probably the worst.
No, I have not.
Well, her and the Flash are going to be crossing over soon, so get ready for that.
Exciting. Sweet. I'll be there.
No, you won't. That, trust me, Supergirl is fucking awful. I only watched one episode, and that show fucking put a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. They got one of the most boring actors to play one of the most superheroes. Jason Momoa.
That boy is trying to make Aquaman so serious, too. I pray that this works out best for him.
Why didn't they just get The Rock?
Because they already got him for Shazam, that's why.
Yeah, but that's not even anywhere close to being made yet.
I guess, I don't know.
They haven't found the Shazam yet.
Yeah, because he's playing Black Adam.
Yeah, which is cool. I want to see Rock as a villain. I want to see that.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I guess he really wants to be a James Bond villain.
They haven't really been pulling off this casting thing for the rest of these movies because they're just waiting to see what this year turns out for them with the two movies they got.
Well, when it fails,
I don't even know why they're doing that because they know good and goddamn well Don Jones is going to make a lot of money. So I don't even know why they're wasting their time with that.
Yeah, maybe they're being
safe.
Yeah. They're not going to top Marvel. Marvel's always going to make every movie. Didn't Ant-Man almost make $1 billion?
It made like 700 million worldwide.
So, Marvel's pretty much now destined to print money. Now a Spider-Man in the mix, somewhat. They're topping. They're going to top. They're always going to top. Like Fox, Deadpool's their last hope to be in anything. It's not X-Men.
I would say Apocalypse is, but...
Oh, that trailer, though.
Yeah, the trailer's pretty bad, but, yeah.
I mean, the big reveal of Xavier bald-headed, woo!
Yeah. That was the bad trailer. Or then, not to forget, Game of Thrones actress Jean Grey. My God, she was fucking awful. Her line delivery was terrible.
Yeah, and
I don't
then
know what it is with these X-Men trailers always showing the X-Men characters posing and shit like that.
always.
I was like, what in the fuck is going on? Like they do some of the worst fucking trailers I've ever seen. And then, you know, you got this whole thing with the special effects and it looked like shit too. I was just like,
and they looked like they weren't completed.
And the thing is, the movie's finished too when that trailer got done. So I was just like, look at this. I was like, wow, I hope this looks better in the movie because this looks like shit in this trailer. I was like, man, all that money y'all make at Fox, and I can't even put a fucking decent trailer together for this fucking movie. I was like, that trailer, not, the only thing that sold me on that trailer was the James McAvoy parts, and I was just like, that's it. Everything else in it, I was just like, and then the whole Jennifer Lawrence might be the lead and shit like that. I was just like, oh my god. Didn't you get enough of this bitch in Hunger Games? And then I'm kind of, those outfits they were wearing, the black one, I was like, that looked like the fucking outfits they were wearing in the last Hunger Games show. Like, Jennifer Lawrence just literally walked off a Lionsgate set and just walked on the Fox set and was like, alright, I'm ready.
Pretty much.
And Cody was right. That Bryan Singer leather shit that they keep doing, I was like, god damn, dude, you're in the fucking 80s and 70s time period. Put them in the fucking costumes, shit.
And
what is so hard about the fucking costumes to put them in? I really don't get this shit at all.
Apocalypse looks exactly like Ivan Ooze.
I don't think he looks like Ivan Ooze. I never said he looked like Ivan Ooze. He never looked like Ivan Ooze to me. I was like, Ivan Ooze looked way more ridiculous. But then again, Apocalypse to me, everybody's always talking about the look about Apocalypse. I've always backed the look up from him since day one that they released the photos of him. I was like, back and I was like, because I'm a huge X-Men fan, but I look at him and go like, because Apocalypse always looked fucking silly. Everybody kept making him out to be, I was like, you talking about the dude that had like tentacles in his fucking wrist and this armor plates with a big ass A as a belt buckle and shit. I was like, yeah, he didn't look silly back then, didn't he? I was like, yes, he looks silly every fucking time. Shit, every adaptation of Apocalypse always looked fucking silly.
Mm-hmm.
He's never looked good. And this is coming from an X-Men fan.
Is this the last movies for McAvoy and Fassbender?
I don't think so.
He's getting a lot more work.
It's probably the last. The last one for Wolverine. Or Hugh Jackman.
God! Thank God.
I know they did some reshoots for him to show up at the end or something like that.
That's just awesome.
Yeah. And I know the Wolverine 3 is his last one. He's talking about, I'm making this one perfect. I'm like, you said that the last two times. He's like Michael Bay at this point. The Transformers. Every fucking time.
I'm gonna make this the right way. Okay.
Make this the right way. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Whatever.
Yeah. Go back to Broadway. Win some Tonys.
Yeah. Back to Broadway and get back on there with Eddie the Flying Man or whatever the fuck you call that movie that's coming out. Eddie the Eagle. There you go. Yeah. Go back to Eddie the fucking Eagle. Whatever. Your non-acting ass. Your boring ass.
Jackman is boring.
He is fucking boring. I'm sorry. I can give a fuck how much talent you got. You're fucking boring as an actor, dude. fuck Donald Justice, though. Megan Dahl, she says, great response, guys, in P1's absence. But I am curious as to what is your process on doing shows and reviews by yourself, P1? I think you're good when you're with other spoiling hosts, but I think you're even better by yourself. Love the reviews and the controversy you bring. I brought a lot of controversy on Fifty Shades of Black, yes.
Well, it was the truth, right?
I don't take any goddamn thing back from that review, either. I know, because a lot of people comment, some people comment on YouTube, saying it was a little harsh on the YouTube post or whatever. I was like, you go watch the movie and tell me if it's fucking harsh. I don't know how people always give their opinions on what's too harsh and what's not of movies they haven't fucking seen.
We were going to do the review last week, and you said you and Cody were going to get drunk, or because you wanted to forget that movie. I'm like, I thought about my 50 Shades of Black. I forgot what that movie was. I'm like, oh fuck, that's that Marlon Wayans movie.
Yeah, that moment when you texted me after that, that's when that bitch in the theaters was dancing and shit like that.
That movie bombed, didn't it?
No, it made his money back.
Oh, fuck, we're getting more.
It made, like, fucking $7 million its opening weekend. That movie only cost $4 million. Oh, no. Bomb, yeah, that's a bomb, all right, yeah. He said he was going to make more. He said that this whole Oscar boycott thing, he says that just fuels me to make more films. I was like, oh, shit, y'all need to stop this boycott shit then right now. See fucking Jada, look what the fuck you did, Spike Lee. Look what the fuck you did. This had to been one of the worst movie experiences I think I've ever sat in my life.
And it was only in January.
And I'm not talking about the year. I mean my life. I seriously think that the shit I saw, and then the black people that was just in this theater, my God, Cody, I love it because
I made a joke on a Movie Spoilers episode saying we're going to go to the most ghettoest theater ever because it shows a midnight screen. And it was funny because it's the same theater company, but it was in his hometown, Culver City, where all the movie studios are and stuff like that. And I told him, he was just like, oh, thank God, that's so much better. And I looked at him and said, I've been to that theater once. Trust me, this theater is not that much better. And he was just like, well, at least I don't have to fear for my life, probably. And when we got there, the look on his face was fucking proud. Because every time he had his mouth open, I just looked at him and said, I thought it was better. I thought it was better. He was seeing, we saw shit we never saw. We saw a black chick and her man pull out a aluminum foil of fucking chicken and hot sauce.
What?
You go listen to the review. Just go listen to the review. After we're done with you, go listen to the review. Just listen to the fucking review. I don't even want to relive this fucking moment. People, it's an hour review of just the experience we fucking had. I've never seen shit like this before. Like that. We were literally watching a parody movie while being in a parody movie. That shit blew my fucking mind on that shit. I just couldn't believe that. The movie wasn't even 10 minutes in and it found a way. As a matter of fact, it wasn't even a minute in and we already got two black people dancing in the theater. And on the screen, we're being offended by saying black people can only steal and rob to make money. And I was just like, my fucking God. And then one black chick answered her phone 7 times in the theater and was given play-by-plays of the movie out loud and shit like that. And it was a lot of people laughing hard. And the look on Cody's face when she answered her phone 7 times, he was just staring at this girl. And I was just like... I said, you realize it's only been 30 minutes, right?
So the experience is more entertaining than the movie.
It ain't entertaining. Hell no. That's not entertaining. Oh, hell no. Entertaining ain't the word I would fucking use to describe it. Let's just say this. I never once contemplated suicide in my life before.
Was it on par with, like, Disaster Movie and shit like that?
Oh, hell no. I'd rather watch Disaster Movie.
And I know how much you hate that movie.
I'd rather fucking watch Disaster Movie. Disaster Movie's it's No Country for Old Men, for all of us. Disaster Movie is a fucking, and yeah, okay, so everybody knows I love cranberry juice. There's three things I like. And Back to the Future is one of my favorite 80s movies, whatever. Cranberry Juice I love, and 12 Years a Slave I think is one of the best movies made ever, right now. That motherfucker found a way to cram all those three things in a matter of 5 minutes. And I was just like, wow. I said, I can... everything I've ever brought up or anything like that, and it was brought up in this movie, I was like, I don't think I ever can make fun of it. And then he had a big guy who was a big white dude who was a ginger Jew. I was just like, wow, I can't ever make ginger jokes about myself no more now or Jew jokes about Cody anymore. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. I was like, he's just hitting it out the park. And then 10 minutes later, what does he do? He make a 12 Years a Slave reference, a cranberry juice reference, and a Back to the Future reference all in the span. I was just like, my God, it just doesn't stop with him, does it? I was like, he must be a fan of movie spoilers, and he's trying to fuck me over right now. It literally just doesn't stop, does it? I fuck this dude. And it just kept going on and on. And I was just like, oh my God. And then literally, we went to an IHOP. It was the only thing open at 3 a.m. in the fucking morning. And we literally just sat there staring at each other. And even after we were finished, we kind of just walked for a little bit. We had to go for a walk. I don't think I slept that night, neither. I was so wide fucking awake. I was so fucking pissed off with just my race in general, black people, that theater, that movie. Everything about it was just so fucking insulting. Black people have the audacity to sit up here and talk about, oh, it's not enough black people in the Oscars and shit like that, and then meanwhile you got this nigga over here with a production studio made this shit.
Yeah, Open Road.
Now Marlon Wayans has his own studio. I think it's called Baby Way Productions or whatever, and that's the movies that made this shit. And then the trailers, oh my fucking God, I was just like, April's gonna be nigga month. you got that parody of the Purge with Mike Epps and shit.
Yep.
And there were some other movies we saw too. I was just like, look at that. I was just like, I am not. Oh, and that movie with Key and Peele making that Keanu movie, the parody movie of John Wick. That comes out in April too. I was just like, can black people not only do parody movies? What is this shit? What is this shit? How come? Black people, I'm talking to you right now. How come you complain and moan and bitch
all the time about, oh, I can't watch movies like Toy Story Slave. That makes me angry and shit like that. Or how come we can only make slave movies? What's the last slave movie you remember before 12 Years a Slave, Uzi?
Homicide.
Thank you. And when the fuck did that come out? That was like fucking, what, a decade before 12 Years a Slave came out?
96? 96, 97?
1997. You ain't seen a slave movie since 1997 before 12 Years a Slave. And people talking about, oh, I'm sick of these slave movies. Why we only make slave? How come nobody never bitch about it? Black people only good about making parody movies?
I guess.
And I love it because it's every black person that make these parody movies, they're the ones that have their own studios and shit, but yet this is what they make.
Yeah.
And then you got people like Will Smith, his jaded, and then fuck that dude. That dude pissed me off actually on that 200 episode, because after I watched, Cody showed me this interview he had where he was talking shit about, oh, how Hollywood doesn't hire black people and shit, and I'm thinking, looking at him like, wait a minute, hold on, nigga. You got your own studio and shit. I don't remember ever seeing other black people in your films at all. Matter of fact, your movies are such vanity projects for yourself that there's never any other black people in your films.
You're pretty much right.
So how the hell are you going to sit up here and tell me Hollywood is racist or backwards because they don't hire enough black people? Wait, you have your own studio. How come you don't hire your black people?
Hire your son.
That's what Aunt Viv, that's what she said. She said, you only hire your friends and your family members. Yeah. But you want to sit up here and talk about how Hollywood's racist? That's like calling the kettle black, isn't it now? Concussion, was there any other black people in that movie besides football players?
I can't think of his name. Whatever. He was like the leader of the Players Association.
But he
whatever.
Was a football player, though.
Correct, yeah.
So, was there any other black people in that movie?
No.
I don't think so. Were there any other black doctors in that film?
No.
Thank you, then. So what the fuck's he talking about, Z?
I don't know. He's just fucking so full of himself. It's not even funny.
Yeah, he really is full of himself these days.
I mean, who's the most respected black actor right now? It's Denzel.
Always been. Always will be.
For the past 20 years?
Always. Damn straight.
He's not saying nothing. He's probably going to be at the Oscars.
Yeah. I was going to say, because in his interview, he talks about how backwards Hollywood and racist is, but then he mentions, he's like, the two times I got nominated, I lost to Forrest Whitaker and Denzel Washington, which is ironic. I was just like, so what the fuck are you complaining about then? Because you lost to two black people then. So,
right.
And that don't make any goddamn sense then. So, hold on. How are you going to call something racist when you lost to black people?
Yeah.
That makes no fucking sense in your argument now.
I mean, there's a lot of black actors out there. And it's not, you know, it's not the Academy's fault, because if the performances weren't good, you know, it's just like in sports, there's black and white. Some black players are better than white, some white players are better than black.
Hey, black people dominate sports. Let's be honest about this.
Not hockey.
Hey, we got a team, though, the Blackhawks. Hey, you heat that ice skate up, we'll be dominating that motherfucker too. you heat that shit up, whatever. But every sport, if even sports black people ain't even initiated with, you bring up golf. I say, when you bring up golf, who do you think of?
Tiger.
When you bring up tennis, who do you think of?
The Williams sisters.
There you go. I mean, so what are we talking about? Black people dominate music. We dominate fucking we dominate mainstream music, whatever.
Even though yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it's complete shit, but we dominate that like a shit. Motherfucker.
I mean, not Drake.
Sports. I mean, LeBron James is probably the biggest played a sport person. I mean, he's got to be huge. He makes more than some actors do.
Yeah.
I mean, you would have to go to a fucking cave in Iran to not know who the fuck LeBron James is.
And Mike, you got Michael Jordan too. Before that, and Kobe.
Well, and Kobe now too. And shit, his tickets are expensive as fuck because of his last game coming up and shit. Some dude bought one of his programs off eBay for $1,000. A program that they hand you for free. What does that tell you? But black people complain about Hollywood and acting. It's like 12 years. I'm gonna say 2012. 2013, I believe. So yeah, 2013, Lupita Nyong'o, 12 Years a Slave, Chiwetel Ejiofor, and Denzel Washington all were nominated. and swept the awards. Not just Oscars, the awards.
Yeah. In 12 years, won best movie at the Oscars.
It won best picture every awards. Every fucking awards, it won best picture. And Lupita won every award, except for the Golden Globe, because they had a bunch of racist fucks over there. But Lupita won every fucking award. And Denzel and Chiwetel Ejiofor were nominated as well, in the same category. For Flight in 12 years.
I mean, what?
A Mexican last year swept the awards. A Mexican with Birdman.
Yeah, and he's gonna probably do it this year too.
Thank you. So diversity don't mean all races or anything like that. It means black people, because I went over on our 200th episode and I went over all the different race and ethnicities that have been nominated this year, but yet people are still saying lack of diversity. No, you mean lack of black people.
I mean, has there been an Asian?
Yeah, there's a couple of them. You need to listen to 200 episodes.
I haven't heard it yet, because I figured it's going to be really, really long.
Oh, fuck yeah. I went over all this shit. Yeah, you need... An Asian dude directed Inside Out!
Well, I didn't know that one.
He's a fucking Filipino director!
Black Lives Matter.
Amy, that documentary that's been sweeping the awards, that's probably going to win the Oscar, too. You wouldn't believe who directed that film.
Who's that?
A fucking Iranian dude. Who the fuck would have thought an Iranian dude would have did an Amy Winehouse? Who the fuck would have thought that shit?
You're right. I mean, you're actually right. I mean, they say diversity, but it's just the black people. And plus, look who's all doing this. You don't see groups of Mexican actors doing the, you know, boycotting the Oscars, or Asians, or, you know, you don't see Benicio del Toro. I think he's Colombian, I think. But he's Spanish descent. You know,
there's every Spanish descent that got nominated. There's a Brazilian director in there. There's a fucking dude from Mexico. There's a dude from Spain or whatever. I mean, come on. No colors, no diversity. Shut the fuck up with that shit. That shit pisses me off. Black people sometimes feel they're so entitled and shit like that. Yes, if you would have gave a good performance, then I would have gave you nine. People talking about, why didn't the Straight Outta Compton guys get nominated for Best Actor? It's like, are you serious about that? Come on now. They were good, don't get me wrong, but none of them stood out to where they're better than any of these guys got nominated. Let's be real about that.
And that movie was critically and financially a success.
Yeah, so why would they care? And they don't care, because Ice Cube came out and said, I don't really care about that film getting nominated.
Right, he was a consultant, right?
Yeah, he was like, a producer as well. He's a consultant producer. I think he wrote it as well. Yeah, he wrote it as well. He helped write it. No, he didn't help write. I think he did the final script or some shit like that.
But look who's the one complaining. Spike Lee, who, when's the last time he did anything relevant?
He did that movie Chi-Raq, which Spike Lee already complained, though. That's the thing about him. So I don't really give a fuck about Spike Lee complaining.
Jada Pinkett Smith, who's, when was she ever relevant? Ever.
Gotham.
Her shit was cheesy.
Yeah, but that show was a hit and is doing a lot.
Wasn't her.
Yeah, but that she's on the fucking covers of the shit, so.
I like Penguin better than her.
I don't like anything in that fucking show.
And Will Smith, who, his time as a summer bad boy is gone.
She's just arguing because of him. I know they make that argument, if we did get nominated, we'd still be fighting for it. No, y'all wouldn't. Shut the fuck up. You would not. You're a goddamn lie. You would not. Shut up.
Yeah, maybe if Will Smith did a little better job acting, he would have gotten nominated.
Thank you. There you go. You just said it right there. Maybe he did a fucking better job. Then how about that?
Learn your accents.
Thank you. Shit. No fucking break here.
I'm actually getting extremely sick of him.
I'm already sick of him. Actually, after that interview, I'm done sick with him. I'm done with his ass. It's like, how does DC keep getting people I really can't stand?
Yeah.
I don't get that.
DC.
Next, you know, they're gonna get Kevin Smith to do Green Lantern film.
Probably. I'm not going to be surprised.
I wouldn't be shocked at this point if he actually became, like, producer on one of these films or not, because he's been pimping DC out for the longest since the universe got brought up, so I would not be shocked at all.
Whatever.
Last question we got here is from Tiffany. She says, give it up, Z. I don't think you'll ever find a film P1 hasn't seen. That guy is an open film book. Man, not really. You give me a trivia, I'd be looking at you like you're retarded or something. Although I do kill at some trivias that you give me. The Forrest Gump trivia, I'm really good at.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I'm really good at Forrest Gump trivia.
What do you think you're better in? Movie trivia or comic book trivia?
Comic
comic book.
Comic book?
Probably. I don't know. There's so many worlds, so I'm like, eh. Probably like equal.
Yeah.
Because I go to this seafood restaurant called Bubblegum Shrimp all the time. I go there a lot, and they always, the waiters ask us Forrest Gump questions and shit like that. I always win at those. I don't know why. I'm just like, how the fuck do I remember this movie so well?
Are they hard questions?
No. I mean, the other people can't get them. I mean, I usually go there or something like that. It's not like I watched that movie. I haven't seen that movie since we reviewed it. And even before then, I didn't really watch it.
Yeah.
I guess because the movie is just so memorable, the quotes and shit like that, I guess. I don't know.
If you say so.
They are. Come on, now. Don't sit up here and fucking tell me. How many fucking people have told you life is like a box of fucking chocolates and shit? and anyway, one of the questions is, who is Forrest Gump's best friend in the movie? It's like, Bubba, come on now. Shit. Fucking Bubba. Shit. Who was this man he looked up to? Lieutenant Dan. Shit. Lieutenant Dan. Shit. He ain't got no legs.
The legless man.
Yeah, but she says, it does pose the question, though, P1, as to what you haven't seen. Also, when did you see all of these old films? What I haven't seen? That's a good question.
This is actually, that was like the first time I seen Dances with Wolves, and thank God, that's such a marathon. That's the first time I saw Watermelon Man, so besides like the classics, I haven't seen a lot of stuff. I haven't seen, like, Wizard of Oz, I saw, you know, pretty much force-fed as a kid.
Yeah, I think everybody was.
Yeah. It still is.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, still is. Years later, yeah, still is, and that movie sucks ass.
That movie is like, I'm gonna say it sucks, but
no, it does suck. It fucking sucks. No, don't be like these people today. And like, oh, it's a classic though. It's like,
I'm about to say it's a classic.
It is a classic. Don't get me wrong. It's a fucking classic. Because people won't let that shit die. But yeah, if they would let it die, it would not be a classic. But since they won't let it fucking die, it's a classic.
Yeah.
All of that movie is, it's fucking terrible. And critics knew it was terrible when it came out, because they said, they rolled the shit out of that fucking movie. They said this movie is fucking awful. I don't know how it became a classic over time or nothing like that, but that movie to me has never changed my opinion. It always sucked when I was a child, and it sucks today. I don't know why people like it now all of a sudden, because it really fucking sucks. Like, people poke that cowardly line. I fucking hated that line.
That did too.
I fucking hated that line. I hated everything. I hated every one of those fucking characters. I was just like, and Dorothy, oh my God. You want to talk about the wife in this movie, Watermelon Man? My God, Dorothy plays a fucking cunt. She's a fucking she's got 1950s white woman written all over her. He's just like, there's nothing positive about this bitch at all.
Yeah.
Even the spinoffs of them, I don't even like. I'm just like, I see no attraction to this shit at all. That animated one I had to do back in
the was it Legend of Dorothy or something like that?
Legend of Dorothy, I was like, oh, God, the sequels they made, or even the Disney one, what was that, the one with James Franco?
Oz.
Oz, Great and Powerful. I was just like, anything about this world is fucking awful. I was like, nothing about this world is good at all.
It's so cartoonish and comic booky.
I don't even know how to describe it.
It's like the comics. It's like the Sunday morning paper comments or cartoons.
Nothing fun about it. But as far as answering your question, though, when did I see all these films? I would say around maybe mid-2000s. I realized that what I wanted to do is I wanted to review films. And I didn't grow up like all the other spoiling hoes. I didn't grow up watching a shitload of these movies and stuff like that, because I actually had a life. I was going outside playing. I always laugh when I hear people say, I watched this a lot when I was a kid, or this break my childhood or something. I'm just like, wow, y'all didn't go outside and play that much, did y'all? No wonder I'm probably the most athletic on the site. But anyway, I honestly was playing. I didn't watch a lot. So I went back in time for like a few years, I want to say, and I watched a shitload of films. I caught up on, I want to say around 2008 is when I really caught up with a lot of fucking films. Even today, when I find a film I haven't seen, I will watch it immediately. Like, if you was to bring up something and I haven't seen it, I would go watch it immediately. I'm sure there's some old classics I haven't seen, but I've seen a shitload of the older films nowadays, especially before Throwback Tuesday started. That last year, when me and Lena, I was watching a shitload of older films, whatever, because I always wanted to do a show where we did older films. Lena didn't want to do it, though, because I forgot the reason why. She didn't want to have more shows, something like that, because she didn't want her time to be taken, or some shit like that, whatever. Doesn't matter, she's gone now. that's one of the best in the world. But anyway, I just started growing up on my film, because I would say I'm probably... I would say that the other spoiling hosts, I don't know if I'm speaking for you or not, Z, whatever, they're more,
they're more intact with, like, a lot of cinephiles are, like all these guys are, but they're more intact with the production and stuff, like, basically filmmaking at its best and stuff like that. I would say I'm more, and this is probably where I'm different from all of them, is I'm more impressed with the business side of movies more than I am with the what I see on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I like the business side more of things. I like how films are, not so much how they're created, but how they get done on the backdrop of people that don't get the credit and stuff like that. Maybe it's because I do it for a living. I'm more fascinated with that side of things. I was talking to Wayne's dad about that. He was, because we were talking about just movie business and period. He was like, wow, you know a lot. I was like, yeah, because I'm not really into the technical aspects of cameras and shit like that, of how movies are made. I like to know the bare bottom of how it got to this point to being made. And I would say the other spoiling hosts, you guys are probably more into, you know, production values and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're about right.
You guys can point out probably better things, a lot more better things about the production stuff than me. But when it comes to business, I love the business side of movies. So, I've taken it upon myself to make sure I saw these films before I got into critiquing films, whatever. That way I could have an understanding of where it was coming from, because I can sit up here and talk a lot of mumbo-jumbo bargaining bins and stuff like that, or how much I love it, because some of these polls we have is how much movie may make or something like that, and I seem to always win those.
You do.
And I'm like, well, because that's probably why I have a better understanding of business and stuff, whatever, you know, because I hear Luke and Wayne and other people, they talk this, it's all about the passion a director has, and I'm here to tell you this right now, working in the business of movies and stuff like that, nobody has fucking passion. It's not, I laugh when I hear them say that sometimes. I'm not gonna lie, whatever, it's just like passion, whatever, guys. It's not about passion or anything like that. It's about, because I know one time they talked about, like, He-Man will be right for making that movie, and they said they got to find a guy who's passionate about the property and stuff like that. I disagree with that completely. Nobody's passionate about anything. You're passionate about filmmaking, you're not passionate about the property. What you need to do for a property, though, is you need to have an understanding of the property before having a passion for it. Passion is for fucking fools and dreams and shit like that. Understanding is more, see, passion is more fantasy. Understanding is more business. You need to have an understanding of how things work. That's the only way you're going to make a good movie out of something. Christopher Nolan, you think he has any passion for Batman whatsoever?
Hell, no.
He doesn't know anything, damn thing about Batman. And those movies tell you. Those movies are completely different from Batman. But did they not work? Because he has an understanding of who Batman is. Therefore, it works for him.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know, he did some research.
If he did some research, he'd be like, oh, wow, Batman's actually almost different from this. But he has an understanding of who Batman is, so he can therefore take the bare-bone minimums of the storytelling and put some elements to it to make a complete movie. Mm-hmm. So, that was your question, Tiffany. It just developed over years, and I'm sure what films I haven't really seen, you'd have to bring them up to me. I'm sure there's, because usually when Wayne and them, because Wayne always does that shit too, he's just like, oh, I got a film you've never seen, guys, whatever, on Spoiling the Movies, and they'll just look at him and go like, really? Come on now, who hasn't seen that fucking film?
I mean,
and then some, yeah, sometimes I hear other people say I haven't seen that film, I go like, I forget, you know. But I've seen a shitload of films. I watch a shitload of films. I pretty much went into the business of studying films, and the funny thing is I never took a film class or anything like that.
You saw Night of the Jew.
I saw Night of the Jew, that's right. I mean, like I said, I almost take it as a test upon myself to go watch films now that I haven't seen, so.
Mm-hmm. You see about maybe 5 to 10 films a week?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So, yeah, it's going to be very hard. If you've been doing it for so long, it's going to be very hard not to see a movie.
Yeah, because I was watching a lot of films like 4 years in between before we even started this, so, yeah. But yeah, even if I miss it or something, I'll go back and watch it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So, I heard you guys, the foreign films. Yeah, foreign films are my favorite, so.
Yeah, I think Sammy said that. That was your favorite.
Yeah, I love foreign films, so that's definitely difficult to do. I'll jump on a fucking foreign film right away. So, but people, that's the show.
That's it.
I gotta get out of here. I got to go. I've been here too long. I've been here for an hour and a half almost now. I got to get the fuck up out of here, Z. What, you know what? I got to go, Z. I got to go. So, people, I'm just going to wrap things up by saying thank you for listening to Throwback Tuesday, episode 132. We hope you enjoyed yourself. It was a good show, right, Z?
Very good show.
Very good show. I actually enjoyed this show. Actually, we had a damn good time. I'm glad I was on. I was dreading not being on this show. I was like, fuck, I really wanted to be on this. I wanted to talk about the movie so bad. But, hey, I'm your spoiler host with the most, the phenomenal one.
This is Z.
And we'll be back next week for another edition of Throwback Tuesday. Later, bastards.
See ya.
To my soul.